A light on my path. A light on my path. Amen. The word of God will light your path. And as you enter into this new week, you'll be equipped to face this week by being here this Sunday afternoon. We will not leave here empty-handed. We are here to receive something great in the presence of God. So get ready to receive an awesome time of preaching from Elder Dylan. Amen.
Wow. What an introduction. It's a blessing to see all of you once again. You know, happy 4th of July again to everyone. I'm excited to see all of you there. Quickly, before we take off into the service, let's just have a quick time of prayer. I'm going to ask all of us to do something in 1 minute, but let's just have a quick time of prayer. Father, I thank you for gathering all of us here today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. I pray, Lord, that as we have been studying about Anakazo and as we've been studying and learning about how to care for others and how to think about others, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to speak through me, God. Allow me to say one thing to someone today that will change their week. One thing to someone today that will help a situation they are going through. God, I pray, Lord, that you will bless us, God, that you will encourage us, that you will strengthen us, Lord. Lord, your word says in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, that after you have suffered for a little while, the Lord your God will strengthen you, renew you, and restore you. Lord, I pray, God, for anyone who is going through a situation where they are suffering, I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them, that you will encourage them, help keep them in the faith as they are going through it, God. Help them to remember, God, that you are the one who fights for us, that you are the one who allows us to go through things and come out on the other side. I give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So very quickly, we're going to do something new today. You know, today is the 4th of July. And, you know, as you are celebrating the 4th of July, for those of us who live in America, and I believe that's all of us here, the 4th of July is America's Independence Day. But as Christians, you know, it is a day to celebrate, or America celebrates, this is their day of freedom. This is the day America became free. You know, as Christians, though, we became free when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. So I want to encourage us, and I'm going to just show us a brief activity today that I want all of us to try and do. So grab your phones, wherever you are. If you can grab your phone, and go to menti.com. For those of us who have Menti, who know what Menti is, you're about to see a code that I want you to project. So this is a new segment that we'll do, maybe not every Sunday, but we'll do it some Sundays, and we're calling the segment Dialing In With God. So let me go ahead and share my screen here for you guys. It'll come up in 1 second. So you should be able to see. The question of the day is, what has Jesus freed you from? So if you go to menti.com on your phone and you type in the code at the top, you should be able to submit your answers. And I just want to see some of the things that maybe, you know, Jesus has freed us from. Don't worry, it's anonymous. So you can feel free and submit anything you want to submit. Only thing that's going to show up on the screen is the actual things that people submit. So if you have your phones, just for a brief 2-3 minutes, we're closing it. So you would like to participate, go to menti.com and type in the code at the top. You can begin to submit the things that Jesus Christ has freed you from. What comes to your mind? You know, was there a way that maybe you used to live that you don't live like anymore? You can feel free and submit as many things as you want. Okay, I see that someone has submitted sin, lust. I see evil, shame, bondage. And you see whatever multiple people submit will be large. So sin is large like that on the screen, because a few of us have submitted that. Wow. So I just wanted us to go through this exercise. I thought it was, okay. I'll give it a few more moments. I see that the words are coming through. Lust is getting larger now than sin. Lukewarm Christianity. Lack of self-worth. Wow. I see self-hate. Self-centered. Wow. Bad friends. Wow. Jealousy, anger, wow, shame. What else do I see? I see backstabbers, embarrassment, lustfulness. Okay, I see that one. Wow, so being a selfish person. I see someone's a selfish person. Yeah, disease, wow. Desperateness, okay. Anger, weed. Yeah, so you see all these things, and you know, we've been spending time in church. For those of you who haven't been with us, all these things that you see on the screen, we've been spending time in church over the past month learning and discussing about anakazo. You see, we've been learning about anakazo. And what does anakazo mean? Anakazo is a Greek word for the word compel. Anakazo means to drive and to necessitate, right? So last week we learned about others, and we learned about other people and other Christians. I'm sorry, other people, just other people in general. And, you know, I gave us four things to remember about others. And all these things we see on the screen right now are things that, you know, other people also go through. Yeah, just as how we were going through these things, we were going through lukewarm Christianity, jealousy, being self. This is how we were going through all the bondage. This is how we were also struggling with all of these things. Others also go through these things. Others are struggling with these things. And last week, you know, I gave us four things to remember about others. And as we have now found ourselves in church on a Sunday afternoon at 12:54, it's like we are in church. I mean, Liz, can you believe it that Sunday afternoon is like you are in church and you are leading a ministry in the church? I mean, it's like you're here. And it's like Sunday afternoon, we have found ourselves in church. You have to also believe that there's someone else out there struggling with these things who should be here. There are some people out there who are struggling with bad friends or with bondage or with desperateness or with premarital sex. There are people out there who are struggling with some of these things on this screen right now, and they should be in church. We should be able to help them come to church. Yeah, last week, just as a recap for those of us who weren't here, I shared about four things you must remember about others. The first one was others need Christ. See, what has made us been able to pull away from the things on the screen is Christ. It's not us. It's not our own strength. It's not our own might. The Bible says it is not by might. It is not by power, but it's by the Spirit. Yeah, it is not us who has been able to stop what we see on the screen. It is Christ. And others need Christ to also get to where we are at. Amen. The second one was others need a shepherd. Yeah, others need a shepherd. Sometimes what you need to stop yourself from being a lukewarm Christian is a shepherd. What you need to stop yourself from staying in maybe embarrassment or staying in bondage is a shepherd. You need someone to be praying for you. Amen. The third one was others must hear the message also. Others must hear the message also. Yeah, some of these things only stop when you hear a message that provokes you to stop, that enters your heart. Yeah, there are some messages that enter your heart. Amen. There are some messages when you hear them, it changes the way you think. It changes a situation. Or it's like you've come to church on a Sunday. Maybe you just came. It's a random Sunday. You've just come. And it seems as though the message that is being preached is about you. I don't know you from anywhere, but it's like the message I'm preaching is about you. Many times when that's happening is God trying to speak to you about that situation, about that bad friend. Yeah, about maybe that selfishness that you have in your heart. It is God who is trying to speak to you about it. And then lastly, others have issues. Yeah, others have issues. You see, all of these things on the screen are all issues. Nothing on the screen here are good and positive and nice and warming and rosy things. Everything we see on this screen are issues. Yeah, they are all issues of life. And others have these same issues and more. And other people need to be encouraged. Other people need to find Christ. And it is our job as the Christians, our job as the people who maybe now is like, we are born again, we are in church, we are great, we are everything, or we are still learning, or we are still growing in Christ, right? It is now our job to help the others come to Christ. It is now our job to help the other people. That's why the Greek word anakazo means to compel. It means to bring other people. It means to make people feel as though this Jesus person we're talking about is who they need. This Christian thing or this church thing we are doing is where they need to be. There must be a way to drive and make people feel as though this thing we call ourselves doing is what they also need to be doing. Amen. So it's a blessing to see this is something that we'll be doing from time to time. And we'll call it Dialing In With God. And it's going to be something we do just at the beginning of the preaching. And I want us to all participate, you know, when we do it. I think it's a blessing. I think it's a very powerful image to see on the screen, you know, some of the things that maybe we struggled with. And God has freed us from them. And God is going to continue to keep us free from these things. Yeah, we're not going back to these things. Amen. We will not go back to lukewarm Christianity, to lack of self-worth, to anger, jealousy. We will be free from it. Amen. You have to say amen. We will be free from all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. What a blessing. So now, today's message. So we've been preaching about Anakazo for the last month. Today's message, or today is the close or the wrap up of the Anakazo message. So after today, we are done learning about Anakazo. So if you are here and you've made it to today's service, you are catching the end, the tail end of the Anakazo message, but I believe it's still a blessing. So today, I'm going to actually teach us two new Greek words. Yeah, so we're finished with Anakazo. We're going to learn two new Greek words. So for those of us taking notes, and if you come to church, you should take notes. You should always take notes. The first Greek word we are learning comes from the Bible in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Matthew 11, verse 11. I think we have the scripture to project. Beautiful. Matthew 11, verse 11, truly I tell you, among those born of woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and the violent people have been raiding it. Amen. The word biazo, the Greek word biazo, it means to use force. Yeah, it means to use force or to be violent. The Bible says in Matthew 11, verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence. Yeah, and the violent people have been raiding it. Let's read this verse in the King James. In the King James, if you have your Bibles, you can change your version to the King James version. Matthew 11 and verse 12, it says there, in the King James, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen. So to use force, right, to use force as a Christian, to use force in this thing that we are doing, to use force in Anakazo, that is what we really need. Many people are on their way to hell. Yeah, many Christians, many people living on this earth are actually on their way to hell. And it is our job to help them. It is our job to use force. Yeah, we can't just sit back and be relaxed and be calm and be cool and be laid back. It's like, oh, I'm just chilling. No, you can't just chill. Yeah, because God has given us a mandate. God has given us a mandate that we must go out and preach to others. We must go out and win souls. We must go out and help people to find Christ. And sometimes that finding of Christ is just an invitation. Yeah, sometimes that finding of Christ is just inviting someone to church, helping someone to hear the word of God. That's why last week when we learned about others, one of the things to remember about others is that others must also hear the message. Yeah, some people just need to hear this message. This message today, somebody just needs to hear it. And you have to believe that you are the person who needs to hear it. Some people just need to hear the message. Yeah. So I want to introduce, you know, a new operation in church. Today's an introduction of a lot of new things. But starting from today and each and every Sunday from this point on, every Sunday is called Operation One Member, One Soul. And what that means is, as you found yourself as a member, you see, many of us are repeat members. We come Sunday after Sunday. So from now on, you have a mandate, you have a target that you must invite at least one person to church every week. It is simply an invitation. Yeah, it's called Operation One Member, One Soul. And I'm not asking you to even be successful in bringing them. What I'm saying is every Sunday, we must invite somebody to church. You can't say you are coming to church and you haven't invited anybody. We are just worried about ourselves. last week we learned that we shouldn't be worried about ourselves. It's like you are just coming to church. Your only focus is you. You haven't thought of anybody who would like to maybe enjoy your church with you. No, it's just you. Starting from next week, Sunday onward, each and every Sunday, we are naming it and entitling it Operation One Member, One Soul. You must invite one person to church. Yeah, so as you see on all the backgrounds of everybody who's on video, in the top left corner, there's Project 10. So part of, so maybe once you see the Project 10, there's also Operation One Member, One Soul. Like you, like that's also what you are working on. Yeah, some people maybe don't even know how they'll reach their Project 10 or how they'll finish the Project 10. So maybe if you can imagine getting 10 people and establishing 10 people in church, start with one person. Start with one soul. Even if the invitation every Sunday is the same person, it's a blessing. When they come to church and they are established, and you move on to the next person. Yeah. And what is establishing someone in church look like? The first way, this is not the point of the message, but I can say this. The first way to know you have successfully established someone in church is when the person comes to the service without a reminder from you. When the person you've invited is now texting you, "Hey, Liz, where's the link? Hey, Patricia, where's the link? Hey, Annette, where's the link?" Once people are doing that, then you have successfully established them in the church. You have successfully helped them to be in the church. So I just want to encourage us that starting from next week, Sunday, and each and every Sunday, this is not just a one Sunday, 4th of July, we are all happy and excited and we're celebrating. No, every Sunday is Operation One Member, One Soul. Amen. And I believe it will be a blessing. And the Bible, like I said, the Bible has given us a mandate. The Bible has given us an expectation that we must tell others about Christ. Yeah, if you turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 8. There you will find the mandate. This is the mandate for us as believers. Each and every one of us, we call ourselves believers. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves people who love God. Well, the person that we say we love has given us a mandate. Ezekiel 33 and verse 8, it says, "When I say to the wicked, 'You wicked person, you will surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood." Verse 9. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved. Yeah, verse 10. "Son of man says to the Israelites, 'This is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How can we live?'" Verse 11, lastly. "Say to them, 'As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live.'" Turn from your evil ways. Why? "You will die, people of Israel." Let's go back to verse 9, please. Verse 9. "But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways." Yeah, the warn. Yeah, see, many times the warning can be this invitation. Sometimes you will save yourselves through this invitation. Some of us are saving ourselves through inviting people to the church, through helping people to hear the message. That is the warning that we must give to some people. Many times you cannot go talk to somebody about their sin. You cannot go and pick up yourself and go and speak down on somebody or make somebody feel down. But what you can do, or what you should be doing, is that you should be inviting people. You should be giving people a chance. You know, when we were learning about Anakazo, we were learning about a man who threw a party and he made many invitations. Yeah, he made many invitations. And the Bible says that the people he invited didn't come. And sometimes the people you invite will not come. Sometimes the people you invite the first time, they won't come. And you have to go out and compel them. That's why we studied Anakazo. And I would encourage us to go back and listen to the messages of Anakazo. Listen to the series of messages on Anakazo. You should be studying on Anakazo. I showed us a book last week from Bishop Dag Heward Mills on Anakazo. And I would encourage us to go back and to read that book if you can. Amen. But this is the mandate that we have been given as believers. This is the mandate that we have been given as Christians, is to warn the wicked, warn the people who are going through things, warn the people who are struggling with something. And if you can tell them directly, invite them to church. Let God tell them in the church. Amen. So then the next Greek word, or the next new word I want to introduce to us, as we are using. So far we have learned anakazo and we have learned about biazo, right? These are two words. Anakazo means to compel, to drive, to necessitate, and then to be, and then biazo means to use force. So when you combine these two words, it will help us to successfully bring people into the church. It will help us successfully bring people into Christianity because we will drive them by using force. You will use the anakazo and the biazo. So I want to encourage us as we are introducing Operation One Member, One Soul from this Sunday onward, I want to encourage us to use your anakazo skills, use your force, be forceful with some people. When people give you an excuse, try and see if you can work with them. When someone tells you, I can't come to church because of work, ask them. The next question that should be asked whenever someone says, I can't come to church because I'm working during the time we are going to church, the next question you should ask is, oh, do you have AirPods? That should be the next question that we all ask, because anyone can be anywhere distant in these days. All we're doing is asking you to press a link and put in an AirPod. That's it. We're not asking you to speak, even come on camera. If you're at work, we understand. So all we're asking you to do is press a link, put in an AirPod, and that's it. Some people work all day and listen to music with AirPods the whole day. But when it's time for church, it's like, oh no, I can't make it. I have to work. No, we should be able, and that is using force. When someone gives you that excuse and you follow up with the AirPod question, you are using force. That is how you are going to drive them to the church. Some people just need to be asked. Some people need to feel like, wow, this person really wants me to come to church. And the way to make them is to be asking a lot of questions. If they tell you that, oh, they don't have AirPods, then you just take it like that. Or maybe you can even ask them, if you are a bit forceful, ask them, oh, do you have wired headphones? Can you listen to wired headphones while I work? I mean, this is what it would take. Yeah, you can't be shy. You can't feel like, oh, I'm worrying them. Oh, I'm annoying them. No, this is the length it would take to help people to come to church. Amen. The next Greek word, or the next Greek word to learn, is anadeia. Anadeia. For those of you writing it down, I'll spell it for you. It's A-N-A-D-E-I-A. A-N-A-D-E-I-A. It's called anadeia. And this word comes from the Bible, in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. So in our Bibles there. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go. So this is Jesus telling a story. He's telling a story about, he's telling a story to his disciples. If you have your Bibles in front of you, these words are in red. But Luke 11 verse 5, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Verse 6. A friend of mine is on a journey. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. So this is the excuse. When you need something from someone, if we can go back to verse 6 and verse 7, when you need something from someone, they typically give you an excuse to begin with. Yeah, the first answer to this person's request was, don't bother me. The door is locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Verse 8, please. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship. Yeah. Sometimes, how many of us sometimes feel like we have some people you say, oh, I have to go to this event because this person always comes to my events. So it's like, you have to go where they go. They come and support you. You have to go also go and support. But see, not everything must be done out of friendship. Yeah, not everything. That's why for some of you who have friends there, some of you who have friends and you are keeping them from church, or just like you've separated your life from church. You don't want to bring your church life to meet your outside church life friends. You're doing something that's very wrong. Because the Bible says that even though he would not get up to give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Your shameless audacity to ask at midnight, to keep asking. Let's read this verse, Luke 11, verse 8 in the King James. Luke 11, verse 8, if you want to change your version, Luke 11, verse 8 in the King James, the Bible says there, I say unto you, though he will not rise up and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise up and give him as many as he needeth. Amen. The Greek word anadeia means to be shameless or importunity. It also means to be shameless. Because of your shameless audacity, yeah, to use anadeia, it means that you are someone who is shameless. You have no shame. For you to be trying to invite someone to church and to ask them, oh, do you have headphones? Do you have earbuds? It means that you are shameless in your pursuit of what you are trying to get. It means that what you are trying to get, you will go through any lengths to get it. Some of us, when it comes to us ourselves getting a job, we are shameless in it. Maybe you've applied for the job. You'll wait 3 days. You've called a store. You'll call a hiring manager. Oh, the hiring manager isn't in. You'll wait 2 more days. You'll call back. Then you'll wait again. Give another. I mean, you are shameless. The store knows that this person has applied. Because of how shameless you are in calling and asking to speak with the hiring manager, to follow up with them, you are shameless in that pursuit. How come with church, we are not as shameless in the same pursuit? How come when it comes to bringing people to salvation, we cannot be that shameless? It's like with church, we want to separate it. We want to be timid. We want to be nervous. It's like, oh, you know, it's just church. It's like, like recently I heard someone say, oh, this is just church. Someone told me, oh, this is just church. No. It's not that it's just church. It's not just church. This is how we are being blessed. Every Sunday after Sunday, we find ourselves here. There's a reason God has us here. God didn't just have us here because he felt happy. Or he didn't just have us here because it's like, oh, these people get along. They'll all be friends. He has us here for a particular reason. The Bible says, man makes plans in his heart, but it is the Lord who orders his steps. The fact that God has ordered your steps to be here this Sunday in this church, it is not by accident. And there are some people who should be here, but they are not here. And it's because we haven't gone out to get them. We haven't been shameless enough. We've kept to ourselves too much as a church. Yeah, we've kept to ourselves too much. We have to go out. We have to reach out to others. We have to find more ways to be forceful, find more ways to be shameless in our pursuit. And that is why we are introducing Operation One Member, One Soul. We each have to invite one person every Sunday. Yeah, the days of coming to church and you are bringing yourself have ended. Now, you see, if you invite and they don't come, no worries. You shake the dust off your sandals and continue. But the fact is that you must invite. You must invite people to church. We have all been called to bring others to Christ. Mark 16, verse 15, as we are quickly running out of time. Mark 16, verse 15. The Bible says, if we can turn, I think we have that verse. Mark 16 and verse 15. If we don't have it, I can also read it. Mark 16, verse 15. Okay, maybe we don't have it. I'll read it. Mark 16, verse 15, the Bible says, he said to them, these are the words of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus speaking to us, the Christians, the believers, those of us who say we love him, we pray to him, we try to pray to him every day, try and have our quiet time. The Bible says in Mark 16 and verse 15, he said to them, go out into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Yeah, go out and preach the word. That's why we started a center. And in our center, we have our center leaders because we have to go out and have more people. We have to go out and reach out to people. Our center should be bigger than what it is. Our Guas center should be bigger than what it is. We shouldn't be happy and comfortable that it's like, oh, we're all here. We're all friends. We're all having a good time. We're getting closer. No, we have to meet others. We have to find other people who should be blessed by this service, by this family. We have to have, recently we celebrated, one of our very own, our full flashback star, Annette's birthday. And she made a comment that she said that she feels like, even though maybe we are small, it's like we are family. There are some people who need a family. There are some people who don't have a church family, who don't have good friends, who don't have good people they can count on, who don't have people who will pray for them on their birthday. They don't have that. There are some people on your birthday, what they have planned for you is not good. Like where they want to take you, how they want to celebrate your life and God giving you another year. It's not a good plan what they have for you. And you need people that will have a good plan for you. And we've all been called by God. We've all been called to go out and bring others to Christ. We've all been called to bring others. There is not a single person here who has not been called. So Annette, you are called. I am called. Elizabeth, you are called. Patricia, you are called. Jody, you are called. Amenta, you are called. Ty, you are called. We have all been called. And I want to give us quickly as we close, five facts about the call of God. Five facts about the call of God as we close very quickly. The first fact about the call of God is many are called. Yeah, many are called. What does many mean? It means all. It means a large majority. It means a big group, a big portion. That means all of us who are here today, we are called. Don't count yourself out and say, oh, no, me, I'm just in my corner. Oh, no, me, I'm just a strong Christian, or I'm just trying to be a Christian, or I'm just a human. No, you are called. You have to believe that you are called. Matthew 22 and verse 14. Let's turn our Bibles there quickly. Matthew 22, verse 14. I believe we should have this scripture, Matthew 22 and verse 14. Matthew 22, verse 14. Yeah, it says that for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. So it means that most of us are called. Yeah, pray that you'll be chosen. As for being chosen, you have to pray that you are chosen. Pray that, that God finds you worthy enough to be chosen. But we're talking about the call. And many of us are called. Don't think you are not called. We are all called. The second fact about the call of God is there is a call to being fruitful. Yeah, there is a call to being fruitful. John 15 and verse 16. John 15, 16. There is a call to be fruitful. The Bible says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Yeah, we didn't choose God. God chose us. The Bible says he knew us when we were a clot of blood in our mother's womb. Do you think that we really chose God? No, he's chosen us. And he says, and he's ordained us. Don't think you need to become appointed as a pastor, or you need to be ordained, or we need to give you a big title before it's like, okay, now I'm called. No, the Bible tells us that we have already been ordained and we've already been chosen. And the Bible says that ye should go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So when you bring your one person to church, that person should remain. That is your fruit. That one person should remain. Yeah, and you see, there's a blessing for it. I love this verse because it gives us a blessing for being fruitful. The blessing for being fruitful and having fruit that remain is that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. It means that whatever you ask God for, he will give it to you. But he's giving you what you ask for because of fruitful. You know, some years ago, I remember I asked my pastor on the way to church on a Sunday morning. We were in the car. And I asked him, I said, what is the key or the secret to 100% answered prayer? And I remember his response to me was, oh, what do you mean by 100% answered prayer? And I asked him, what I mean is every time you pray, how do you guarantee that you will always be answered? How many of us want 100% answered prayer? Like every time you pray, you ask God for something, he gives it to you. You ask God for this, he gives it to you. You ask God for this, he gives it to you. The key or the way to receive 100% answered prayer is found right here. It is that whatsoever ye shall, this is in red. If you have your Bible, it's the words of Jesus. So you can actually go to him and tell him, this is what you said. Yeah. And he says that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This doesn't mean that you'll go and ask for ridiculous things, of course. But when you ask God for something, because of your fruit bearing, you will be given it. Like you will be given what you ask God for because of your bearing fruit. So there is a call to fruitfulness. Each of us have been called to be fruitful. We are not called just to become strong Christians. We are called to be fruitful. Amen. The third fact about the call of God comes from Acts chapter 9, verse 3, please. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5, please. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So this is Apostle Paul being called, and Jesus has appeared to him. there was a shining light. Lastly, verse 6. And he trembled, and he trembling and astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Amen. The third fact about the call of God is that some people are called in a spectacular way. Some of us maybe, I don't know how many of us have had a light and Jesus has appeared. How many of us have seen lights and Jesus appearing to us and an angel and all of that? Yeah, many of us don't receive that kind of call. And that is okay. Some people have a spectacular call. Some people have a dramatic, a big event, a great call. I didn't receive such a call to be sitting here and standing here preaching today. I didn't receive such a call. But the fourth fact about a call of God, or about the call of God, is that some people are called in an ordinary way. And most of us will be called in an ordinary way. Yeah, I was called just in an ordinary, I mean, it's just a feeling. I feel like I must preach. I feel like I want to do something for God. Most of us have a desire or a feeling like we want to do something for God. How many of us have that feeling? Like we want to do something for God, just a feeling. That is the call. If you are raising your hand, it means that's your call. Simply the fact that you feel that way means that you are called. That right there is, you have to be confident and believe that I'm called because I have this desire, because there are many people who don't have a desire to do something for God, do something for a God that I can't see, I can't hear from. I mean, most people don't have that desire. We are here right now having a church service because each of us has a desire to do something for God. So we have all been called based on that belief alone. And then lastly, the last thing, or the last fact about the call of God comes from 1 Timothy 3:1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, this is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, we are all leaders in this church, by the way. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. The fifth and final fact about the call of God is some people are called through their desires. Yeah, through their desires. So when you desire to be a shepherd, that's your call. When you desire to be a singer in the church, that's your call. When you desire to preach at a center or a center, that's your call. When you have a desire to start a center, it's your call. Yeah, that's your call. Don't over-spiritualize it and make it seem as if, no, you're waiting until you see a light and you see Jesus come before you. No, that's not necessarily how all of us will be called. Some of us will be called just through our desires, and you must believe that your desire is your call. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are closing at this point, but we've recapped, or we've learned, you know, about three important Greek words. And I pray that all these words stick with us, you know, as we begin our journey of Operation One Member, One Soul. I pray that these three important Greek words stick with us, right? Number one, anadeia. Number two, biazo. And lastly, the first one we learned was anakazo. So what does anakazo mean? For those of anyone, let me ask someone who can give it to us. Maybe Patricia, what does anakazo mean?
To compel.
To compel. Powerful, powerful. Does somebody want to give me, what does biazo mean? Biazo is the one we learned today. What does that one mean? Anyone?
To use force.
To use force. Beautiful. And then lastly, anadeia was the last one we just learned. Anyone, you can come off of mute if you want to say it.
I think to be shameless.
To be shameless. Wow, beautiful. Yeah. So those are the three important Greek words. These three important words are the words that we need to be successful in being fruitful, to be successful in evangelizing and reaching out. We need anakazo, we need anadeia, and we need biazo. And I want to encourage us to remember this. Remember that we are all called. Don't think that you're waiting until you're called before you begin practicing it. We are called today, July 4th, if you want to remember it as a special day. Great. July 4th, 2021, you are called. And I want to encourage us to use these words. And I believe that it will be a blessing. Amen. So at this time, let's just have a quick word of prayer for each of ourselves. Pray that God will help you. God will help you to be fruitful. Pray for fruitfulness. I believe we have a prayer. We can play some song or something. Pray for yourself for just the next 3 minutes. Pray for yourself. Place your hand over your heart that God will help you to be fruitful. Let's just take the next 3 minutes and pray for fruitfulness. Pray for the Spirit. That you will help us to be fruitful. Help us, oh God, to keep our desire to be fruitful. Help us, Lord, to remain fruitful, God. May we remain strong. May May we remain strong in you, God. Help us to grow in fruitfulness, God. May we not stay at the same level again and again. May something about us change, oh God. Masakaraba masayanama bashakaribaba bashekariba basayanama radaba. Help us to be fruitful, Lord. Help us to be fruitful. Help us to be fruitful Christians, Heavenly Father. May we become Christians who are fruitful. May we become Christians who change. Help us to bear fruit, fruit that will remain. Pray for yourself to become fruitful. Pray that God will help you to become fruitful. Pray that God will help you to bear fruit that will remain. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, help us. Help us, O Lord. Yes, God, help us to be fruitful. O Lord, help us to be fruitful, Heavenly Father. Yes, God, help us to be fruitful. May we not remain the same. Yes, Lord, help us to be fruitful. Help us to stay. Help us to remain. Help us to remain. Help us as the first fruit to remain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for fruitfulness. I pray, God, for a spirit of fruitfulness in the church. I pray, Lord, that you will help us. Bless us to be fruitful. Bless us to be fruitful, God. Bless us to be fruitful. Bless us to be fruitful. Bless us, oh God. Help us to be fruitful. Masha kare baba. Basa kare baba. Se kare baba. Basa kare baba. Se kare baba. Ma balamba. Se kare baba. Se kare baba. Ne baba. Se kare baba. Basa kare baba. Malababa. Basa kare baba. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help us to be fruitful. Help us to be fruitful. Kane mama se kareba. Yes, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and give you thanks. Amen. Father, I thank you for everyone who's come to service today. I thank you, Lord, that you kept us, that you will keep us, God. Help us to remain. Give us the grace to be fruitful, God. Help us, oh God, to remain fruitful. Help us, oh God, to increase our fruitfulness, God. May we not stay at the same level of fruit bearing, God. See the desire in our heart. Lord, your word says that you know our hearts, oh God, that man looks on the outward appearance, but you search our heart. God, search our hearts, oh God. Know that we want to invite. Know that we want the church to grow. Know that we want to help others come and find you. Know that we want to help others come and hear the message. Know that we want to help others have a shepherd. God, help us, oh Lord. Help us to be fruitful. Help us not to stay at the same place. Help us to increase our level. Help us, oh God, to find one person, to help somebody who is lost, who is depressed, who is going through a difficult time, who is going through a bondage, who is going through selfish friends, bad friends, who has a bad situation, God. Help us, oh God, to be the light in their life. Help us, oh God, to have one person, just one person, God, that we can help. Help us, oh God, that when we get to heaven, it's like we've had one person that we brought along with us. May we not come to heaven alone, oh God, but may we come with others. May we come with other people, God. May we come with others in mind. May we have others with us, oh God. May we be the reason someone is going to heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We give you all the thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow, wow, wow. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful time. It's been a blessing. So at this time,